I was in school, and fairly typically, I was misbehaving. The teacher was attempting to keep her cool, but it was clear that she was very frustrated with me. My name was already on the board with a check for a previous outburst in the class, and then I made another joke, and the whole class laughed. And the teacher narrowed her eyes at me, and she said, "Do you want another check next to your name?" And without a pause, I said, "Sure I do." Well, suffice to say that at that time in my life, I didn't really understand or care how the whole discipline thing was supposed to work. In today's set of readings from Holy Scripture, two of the readings give us a real picture of how the whole church thing is supposed to work. Have you ever thought about that? How is the whole church thing, how is this exactly supposed to work? And from the letter of the Ephesians, chapter 4, and from our own St. John in chapter 6, we get a picture of how the whole church thing is supposed to work. At the beginning of John chapter 6, Jesus has just fed 5,000 people miraculously. The bread of life. And the crowd asked Jesus in verse 28 of John 6 this question: "What must we do to perform the works of God?" What must we do to perform the works of God? Actually, people have asked this question in some form for centuries, and probably you and I too. What must we do? What must we do religiously or spiritually to merit God's favor or to get to heaven? What must we do to get God's help right now when we're in a difficult situation? What must we do? Jesus answers that question in verse 29. "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Believe. Put your trust in. Believe. Have faith. Believe. Lean upon Christ. Believe. That's how the whole church thing is supposed to work. It's not just a matter of following Jesus' moral example or being a good person. It's about trusting in Christ. It's about believing in Christ. It's about leaning upon Christ. It's about accepting Christ. That's how the whole church thing is supposed to work. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we find the apostle in prison. Why is he in prison? He's gotten in trouble with the authorities for preaching about Jesus. And he is writing to a church in Ephesus, Greece. And he's stressing to them the importance of unity. I know this will shock some of you. They were having some divisions and conflicts and squabbles in the church in Ephesus. And Paul stresses the importance of unity on the foundation of their common belief. Something we could probably look to as well in our age as believers. Ephesians 4, 4. "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." Now, St. Paul takes it for granted that believing in Christ is how the church is supposed to work. But what the apostle does not take for granted is what he talks about in Ephesians 4, 14. "We must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ." Grow as a disciple. Grow in following Jesus' teachings. Grow in living out the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Grow. That's how the whole church thing is supposed to work. Believe. That's how the whole church thing is supposed to work. Grow. That's how the whole church thing is supposed to work. To say it differently, the church is not working when believing in Christ is not central to its life. The church is not working when growing in Christ is not central to its life. We can do a lot of other things in the church, and we should, but those are the core things from which everything else needs to flow from. Now, do people sometimes go through periods where their belief is pretty shaky? where they have some serious doubts, where they got some serious questions, and they're not really sure about the whole faith, religion, church thing. Does that happen? Of course it does. I've been in periods like that. That's just part of the journey of faith. And that's why we say at St. John's, what? Doubts are okay. Questions are welcome. Please, come as you are. Now, are there periods where people are not really even focusing on their faith? Their faith is sort of stagnant. They're not growing spiritually. They're not being intentional about that. Maybe because it's a busy season. Maybe because they're going through some difficulty. Does that happen? Of course it does. I've been in periods like that. And that's why we say, come as you are. Whether your life is a mess, whether your life is in good order, come as you are. But we also say that our mission, following Jesus' own words and Jesus' own example, is about what? Making disciples. Discipleship is about believing, and discipleship is about growing. Discipleship is about believing that love transforms lives. If you were going to give a quick definition of what a disciple is, any guesses? A disciple is a person who loves God and loves others according to the way of Jesus. That's it. You're trying. You're not perfectly. You're trying to live out the teachings of Jesus in your life. Ephesians 4 also says something very interesting about leadership. I don't know if you notice this about leadership. Not just lay leadership, though it applies to lay leaders of different kinds, but also ordained leadership. Did you notice this? Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. The gifts that he gave that were some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. So priests live out our vows in many different ways. But one of the primary purposes of a priest is to equip, encourage, and help others in their believing and in their growing in Christ. That's what we give our lives to. Or to say it differently, to equip you. To encourage this congregation, to equip this congregation for the work of ministry. You are the primary ministers of St. John's, not us. You are the primary ministers. And to encourage your development in what the scripture here says is spiritual maturity. What is that? That's mature discipleship. Now, it's a big statement that I need to make, and I think someone else would agree. We priests need lots of encouragement and training to stay on the path of discipleship too. We are fallen human beings. We're on the path with you. We don't have it all figured out. And even here at St. John's, our vestry or parish council joins in this sense by striving to keep our mission central of loving God, loving others, and making disciples. Whether we're talking about faith explicitly, matters of faith, our finances, or fellowship. Okay. Tomorrow will mark 40 days before Rally Sunday in the fall, which is September 12th. Rally Sunday is our big kickoff every fall. We invite people to come back who've been away. Our children's ministry kicks off. We're going to be starting a new service at 4 p.m. on Sundays. Lots of different things will be starting. And these 40 days will be a time of prayer, a time for you to pray for St. John's, but also, this is the homework, a time for you to pray about something you're concerned about. Maybe you want to pray for some people in your life for the next 40 days. Maybe there's a question. You're like, I just don't know what to do. Pray about that for the next 40 days. Maybe you want to pray for your spiritual growth for the next 40 days. Lord, grow me more in your way. Whatever, pray for St. John's each day, starting tomorrow, and pray for something you're concerned about in your life. All right, time to use your imaginations. I want you to think about your life of faith, your spiritual journey, like getting into a vehicle, getting into a car. So I want you to picture yourself getting into a car. Maybe it's the kind of car you always wanted but have never had. Imagine yourself getting into that vehicle. Can you see that? I'm imagining a pink polka-dotted Porsche. No, I'm not. I'm actually imagining a Ford 150 pickup truck. Okay, so imagine yourself getting into whatever vehicle it is you want to get into. Believing in Christ is the key that turns on that spiritual engine. Believing in Christ, it's a gift of grace, but as you respond to that, that's what turns on the spiritual engine of your life, the believing. And then actually going places spiritually in that vehicle, if you will, is how you grow. Learning to shift, learning to park, to change lanes, all according to the ways of Christ. So without believing, your spiritual engine doesn't turn on. Nothing happens. And without growing in Christ, you just sit there and idle. The engine is running, your spiritual engine is running, but you're not going anywhere, you're just sitting and idle. Now, wouldn't that be kind of a sad way to live, to not really ever grow in faith and just to sit there idly, never go anywhere, never see anything at a deeper level spiritually? Hopefully, we go through seasons of that, right? But hopefully we say, no, I'm not going to settle for that with God's help. I'm going to try to go somewhere with my faith. So, big spiritual question for you. What is the tune-up that your spiritual vehicle, that is your life, what is the major thing that needs tuning up? It's going to be different for each of us. Maybe it's your believing in Christ. Maybe it's your believing in Christ. Maybe you have some intellectual work to do. You got some questions. You're like, I'm not sure this is logical. What's the evidence? What do they really mean when they say that? And you need to do some research. So maybe your believing in Christ is an intellectual matter. For some of you, it might be more of a heart matter related to your believing. There's some tough things you've gone through that you've experienced. You need to work through that. Or you need to let go of some grudges. Or maybe what needs to tune up is you're growing in Christ. And that's where spiritual practices come in. At St. John's, we talk about the seven marks of discipleship from something called our rule of life. Things like praying daily, things like worshiping weekly, things like loving others and building spiritual friendships, things like resting regularly. Maybe in the next 40 days, you're going to choose one of those things. You say, you know what, the next 40 days I'm going to work on worshiping weekly or loving others because there's this person in my life who is not lovable. I really struggle with it, but with God's help the next 40 days, I'm going to focus on that. The whole point of all these spiritual practices that Christians talk about, whether it's prayer or reading scripture or being a part of a community of faith, is that these are really fueling stations for the Spirit. The more you step into these spaces, the more God is able to reach you more effectively and fuel your faith and allow the vehicle that is your faith to go places. Okay. So, starting tomorrow, the 40 days of prayer and preparation begin, where we're going to gear up for the fall. Even as we speak over these last days, many people, some of you, have been working hard at various preparations to gear us up for the fall in an exciting way as we seek to come back together, past lots of difficult times, and to be with one another as we move toward Rally Sunday. May God use these 40 days to grow you and me and our parish family, to energize us, and ultimately to help us grow in believing and to help us growing in our faith. Believe and grow. After all, that's how the whole church thing is supposed to work anyway. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.